We still don't know if the next Sharia led by Rabbi Ben Sion Sheinfeld will include a Purim selection or not. That's something we don't know. But by no mere coincidence, Rabbi Ben Sion Sheinfeld, the ski rabbi and all the other monikers that he has, the director of Camp Confei, and again, many other things, he's here to actually introduce another amazing way to do chesed during this war in Israel, which we'll talk about. But maybe he will let us know if he's planning during the next Sharia, wherever that might be, to actually perform or lead or incorporate a Purim selection. Rabbi Ben Sion Sheinfeld, welcome back to JM in the AM.
Hello, Nachum. It's a pleasure to be here.
If one would have a Sharia on Shushan Purim, would you include a Purim selection, yes or no?
I do have to clarify something.
Yes.
When you say the word Sharia here in Bergen County, it refers to a Sharia on Frisch.
Correct. Which happened already.
Right.
But is it possible that it might be duplicated in other places, or is that something we don't discuss?
No. So Frisch has a beautiful Sharia, right, run by Rabbi Siner. It's the most amazing.
Which I assume you were at.
I'm at it each year. But this year I had a chasana in Israel, so I couldn't make it. But Mag and David Yeshiva High School.
Shout out to Mag and David, who actually, I hope this is not classified information. Is it? It might be? Okay.
Well, they know they're having a Sharia.
Okay, but they don't know when.
Right.
Okay.
It's so secret, even I don't know.
You don't even know when. If it was an Adar Sheni, would there be a Purim component to it?
Well, yes, because the theme.
Okay.
That, if there is a theme this year, it's going to be the miracle of Jewish survival.
You've answered the question. And we have in our tradition open miracles and quote-unquote closed miracles, Purim usually associated with the closed miracles. So would that fit into that theme?
The hidden miracles, right. Yes.
So it would fit right in. All right.
Yeah.
So a big shout-out to Mag and David, and whenever this event does take place, we say good luck to everybody.
Right. Can I just say one thing about...
You can say
theme is the miracle of Jewish survival, we always look for four sub-themes to bring it all together. So sub-themes, if the theme is the miracle of Jewish survival, would be, like if I asked the audience, what would be the secrets to Jewish survival? So we came up with four ideas. One was Emunah.
Faith.
Right. One is Mesorah.
Tradition.
Right. One is Gevura.
Strength.
And one is avoda, which is just commitment.
In service.
Service.
Or commitment to service.
Yeah, commitment. Right. Yeah. So those are like the miracle of Jewish survival. And
all four come from the one above.
And are focused,
clearly,
focused towards the one above, yes.
All right, there you go. Yeah. We have our philosophical discussion for this morning,
right,
courtesy of Rabbi Ben Sion Sheinfeld. So you are, again, thank God, after all these years, still planning on leading another successful Camp Confei summer. That's going to be happening in July, and it will include countries such as...
Right, so for the past 30 years, 30 years is a long time.
It certainly is.
I've been privileged to run Camp Confei Nesharim, which is a beautiful experience. That for the first 27 years of it, went to New Zealand, Australia, and Hawaii, and California. When COVID happened, we had a sort of reroute. Yeah, reroute. And actually, even during the year of COVID, 2020 year of COVID, in the height of everything, we ran two trips, and they went to New York State. Some people said you couldn't even go out of the state. You needed documents. So we went to Lake George, Lake Placid, and the Finger Lakes. And it was really, I got to tell you, it's, you know.
And there's no skiing at that time of year, I assume.
Right, there was no skiing, but we found beautiful activities to do and really discovered the beauty in New York State. It was amazing.
So the commercials are accurate. It's quite a state to tour around.
It's quite a state.
And there's a lot to see.
Lake Placid is one of the most beautiful places in America. It's great. And Lake George, so many activities.
So you did that for one summer?
We did that for one summer. And that was really the height of COVID, and it was also such a beautiful feeling to get out and with the kids. And
kids were cooped up by then since March.
Surprisingly beautiful. And
then the following summer, back
following
to the regular.
Summer, no, we couldn't leave the country, so we went to Alaska.
Wow.
And that was a whole beautiful experience in Alaska.
There's got to be skiing in Alaska somewhere, no?
Well, yeah, in the summer, actually, the skiing is only heli skiing, so we didn't do skiing in Alaska, but we did do glacier hiking. and white water rafting. And Alaska in the summer is just, it's like a...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Alaska
the typical
summer.
Yeshiva high school kid, I can't imagine, you know, dreams at night, I'd love to go glacier hiking. I can't imagine that the average yeshiva kid is saying that to themselves.
I don't know. It was just Alaska, first of all, the sun doesn't really set. So
Right. Basically
you can wake up anytime you want and still do whatever you want.
Right. At 1 a.m. you could go.
Like basically you can wake up 12 and you still make Zvan Kriya Shema.
Right.
You know.
Right. Meaning 12 midnight. Oh, 12 noon.
12 noon.
12 noon, right.
So it's just an amazing feeling to be walking at like 1 in the morning and basically walking home from your Shabbos through there. Like Shabbos begins there at 11:15 and it may not end until 2:30 in the morning. So we actually kept Shabbos till Sunday morning, 2:30. But you could finish your Shabbos meal on Friday night at like 2 in the morning and you're walking home and it's still, I wouldn't say there's bright sun. But
and did the teenagers enjoy this?
Oh, it was really... amazing, just an amazing...
You get what I mean, that the average yeshiva high school kid is not really into glacier hiking, or at least they don't think they're into glacier hiking until they do it.
Yeah, no, it was an amazing experience. And
and the local residents are all on this crazy schedule, right? Or are they on a much more normal, rigid schedule because they live there year-round and, you know...
Yeah, I think they're a little more on a rigid schedule. I mean, in the winter, there's very little daylight there,
right.
So... But it was very heart-opening, and there's a Chabad there. And
in what city is the Chabad?
Chabad is in Anchorage. And
that's where you were based?
Well, we just went there for Shabbos. We were based actually on the coast. Like we would rent RVs and have the kids sit on the coast and have dinner at like 11:30 at night to sunlight. It was really a special experience.
Ah, unbelievable.
And then the following year, also New Zealand and Australia still wasn't opened up, so we went to... Chile and Costa Rica.
South America.
Yeah. Wow. And that was special. In fact, this year, our girls' division, Benos Canfe, is going to Peru and Costa Rica and Panama with an extra week of skiing in Chile as an option. So we still have some spots available. And that's very special. You know, Peru has also an amazing Chabad in Cusco, which is one of the highest cities in the world. There's a wonderful Chabad. The truth is that it was all populated by Israeli soldiers. And they're no longer there. The question is, are they going to be back? But it was just an amazing Shabbos experience with 300 Israeli soldiers in Cusco.
Oh, it's interesting. We always talk about, rightfully so, how the soldiers who were in the United States or on vacation somewhere in the world ran right back to Israel. We don't even think about South America, which had, as you said, hundreds of Israelis, and they probably went back in an instant just to go and to help in the war effort.
Yeah. I mean, I spoke to the rabbi in Cusco. He is opening, and he's hoping, you know, but of course we all hope for the best in Eretz Yisrael, and we...
That the war is over. Where will you be? Because, well, where will the boys be, I should say, if the girls are going to be in South America?
The co-ed trip is going to New Zealand, Australia, and Hawaii.
Back into the regular schedule.
Yeah, and that's, if we want to segue back to what you...
Which we will in a moment, So that's what's happening this summer with Confe, and are there spots available in the co-ed program?
Yeah, a few spots available in that.
And traditionally, that's populated by what we would call the Yeshiva League kids, right? I mean, those familiar with the modern Orthodox day schools or high schools, I should say, that's where your clientele basically comes from for that trip.
Yes, local and countrywide day schools. Also, we get a group of kids from Israel.
Nice.
They're kids from Israel who they live in Israel, so they're not going to the Israel option programs, and they'd love to see the world. So we have a whole bunch.
And are they generally English speakers, like from American families, or some yes, some no?
Some yes, some no, yeah.
Wow, that must be interesting, that interaction.
It's great. It's a beautiful interaction to have the kids connect with each other. Our cooking staff are usually soldiers or ex-soldiers from Israel, so there's a whole Israel vibe on the camp, which is very sweet.
Information about Camp Confe. If a parent is tuned in right now, or if a youngster wants to explore this, what do they do?
They could email Camp Confe, which is... Confe is spelled K-A-N-F as in Frank, E-I, @gmail.com. I'm also happy if they want to give me a call personally. I'm happy to give my number. It's 201-362-0310. And I just did want to mention that the energy for Confe, although not every program is revolving around skiing, but it comes from skiing. And that's still sort of
our primary activity.
Well, it was the beauty of skiing and the beauty of nature and the challenge and the camaraderie that creates that originally gave me the vision for Camp Confe in Sharm. And I still go every winter break to Vail with the Heshi Shirts and right. the Lawrence Ski Group, and we teach skiing there and ski with the people.
What month is that?
That's in January, winter break.
You know what's funny? I think of you every time this happens, you're going to laugh. But when, you know, traditionally at some point during the early part of the summer, I go up to the Catskills or further up, Camp Misora, et cetera, you know, and you know how beautiful that drive can be, especially once you get past the very populated areas of the mountains, then it becomes even more of a beautiful ride. And I laugh every time how I'm so city oriented that the vast change, the difference in all of a sudden, you know, opening up the vista and the doors to the upper part of New York State, as you described, you know, all of a sudden it hits you like, my gosh, what a world God created, you know, again, in comparison to, you know, being in the New York City area, or even around here. And I laugh and I think of you because you have described the way he, with a capital H, has created and arranged this world. And it's just so, it's so breathtaking. And there's so much of it that's breathtaking. And by the way, if you think that, you know, the area near exit 90 is nice looking, I can only imagine what New Zealand, Australia, Peru, Chile, etc., what they look like.
Right. No, I'm a very big advocate that we talk about nowadays how to connect to spirituality, how kids could really be touched by Yiddishkeit. And I think a big factor is that, you know, people have to just be more open to just the world and the beauty of the world. And that inspires. I mean, David HaMelech wrote all these Tehillim, right, where his connection to Hashem was from seeing the beauty and feeling. And skiing is an opportunity not only to see it, but I always say it's like jumping into the picture. It's right. like being, you know, connecting, being part of it. There are other activities. And in general, I think physical activities and getting in touch with the way the rhythms of your body is also a beautiful way of connecting to Hashem. But skiing is one of those activities that just captures it all together.
You're enveloped by nature.
Yeah, enveloped and part of it, and, you know, by feeling by channeling the gravity and the rhythm, it's a great feeling.
Yeah,
and it could inspire, and you know, we try to.
And even when you're at the bottom of the mountain, and not at skiing at the moment, you look up and you see some of the most beautiful views you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah,
I mean, you've been to the Alps. I've only flown over the Alps. And when I did, by the way, I thought of you. But when you fly over, it's insane. I can only imagine what it's like as you're, you know, part of that whole experience.
Right. So,
anyway. What can I say, Roy? Ben-Zion Scheinfeld is here. Information about Camp Confei, campconfei, K-A-N-F-E-I @gmail.com. You can also call him, as he mentioned. There is the regular high school trip that's going to Australia, New Zealand, etc. The girls' trip is going to be heading to South America. All this is in July, right? The dates that they start are all both in July,
yes.
Correct? And you can get more information, and we can't recommend it highly enough. Rabbi Scheinfeld is doing this for 30 years, and these programs are as inspiring as we describe. And now we get an opportunity to, you know, everyone's looking for interesting ways to help people in Israel. And it's endless. It's endless, as we know. We discussed this earlier in the week. The needs in Israel are insane and immense. The financial support and other types of support coming from here is still not enough, as incredible as it is. It's unbelievable how much support's coming from this area of the world, and still, there's so much more work to be done. And you've introduced With One Family, so people know One Family is literally on the front lines of helping those families that have been hit by terrorists, that families that have victims of terror in their family. And they've helped those families, terror victim families, since they started. And you partnered with One Family, so we know that they certainly know who would fit into this category of those who would benefit from a Camp Confei program. And it says here the following: in recognition of the situation in Israel, Camp Confei is partnering with One Family to offer the Camp Confei experience to teens who've experienced loss and trauma from their current situation. The goal here is to raise $8,500 per teen, and I'm assuming that every time we get to $8,500, you're able to send another teen on your program. Would that be the way?
Yeah, our goal is actually $51,000, which would allow us to take six participants. Yeah.
So that's the goal. There is a site where you could donate. At the moment, it's too long of an address to mention on the air, but anybody who emails me, Nahum@NahumSiegel.com, or if you email her by ShineFeldCampConfey@gmail.com, we'll be more than happy to get you the link. In addition to that, in the news story, if you're listening to this on archive, in the news story, the link is there. Avrami's going to post it. And certainly on our Chesed page, NahumSiegel.com/Chesed, we're going to post the link there as well. Now, if a moment ago I spoke to you about the interaction between American kids and the ones who come from Israel, imagine if now all these kids interact with those who have been really affected by the events of October 7th and the last 5 months. What could you tell us about how unique that experience is going to be for these teens?
Well, first of all, you know, our first goal is to give some rejuvenation and to the
comfort,
kids, right, comfort to the Israeli teens who could use that, you know, right. Who are really special.
And one family can identify those teens who would most benefit from it.
Yes, one family is very connected. Years ago, I skied with a group of one family participants in Switzerland. I was sort of a ski instructor for them, and it was very meaningful. Those kids, as we know, sometimes pain and suffering, it deepens the soul. It opens up emotions that some people don't ever access, and being around that environment could only deepen one's own feelings for life, appreciation for life, and really sometimes we don't want sorrow, we don't want pain, but often that does open up parts of our heart that are precious. So we want to give the kids this sort of get them through the beauty that we experience on Confei and the skiing and the challenge and the We want to get them back in touch with their own joy of life, which sometimes can be hidden. And We know that they will certainly affect and touch our summer and, you know, deepen our own campers' feelings for appreciation for what they have and for for the beauty in the world that shouldn't be taken for granted.
There are wounded soldiers who travel, usually with formal groups, out of Israel for a few days just to, and who wouldn't understand this, just to leave the trauma that they're surrounded by, because it's difficult to go day to day with the situation that they're in. Here, obviously, there's a lot of benefits, as you just described, and certainly I think the entire group is going to benefit from the whole experience, but just giving them a chance to leave Israel for a few days or for a few weeks in this case and get away from the, you know, more traumatic, deeper situation that they would normally be involved with. Just that alone is a tremendous comfort. Everything else you said, I think, is a big benefit as well. But I don't think people realize, like, people might think about, you know, should I support this? Should I try to help a kid from Israel, a teenager, you know, go on a program like this? I don't know if everybody gets just how valuable it is to the kid and their family if they're able to just get away and do something like this for a while. So I hope that will open up some hearts and encourage people to support this cause. There's a lot of work that needs to be done on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Israel. There's a lot of causes out there. Our Chesed page is full. There's a million more we could put up there. But so, you know, it's and this will speak to certain people. This will speak to the skiers out there. This will speak to those who appreciate the nature that you describe every time you go on these trips. So I'm hoping that they'll respond in kind.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and the many people who came on Confei and who benefited from it. I also wanted to mention that one family, you and I go back to Rabbi Riskin's high school, and was established by Meir and Chantal. And Meir was our
dorm counselor
when Rabbi Riskin...
Or as they say in air quotes, dorm counselor. We did a lot of hanging out.
Right.
I don't know how much counseling he did, but we did a lot of hanging out.
Right. But it's amazing, you know, to grow up, you know, in Rabbi Riskin's shadow and see the visions that he helped us experience.
No question about it. And every one of our organizations, whether it's mine, yours, or the Belzbergs, were influenced by him tremendously, obviously. Right. So he gets a nice shout out. JM and the AM with a reminder, those of you who want to participate with Rabbi Ben Sion Sheinfeld, Camp Confei, and One Family, they are opening up 6 spots for this summer to allow teens who've experienced loss and trauma from the current situation in Israel to go and enjoy a trip. If you are a skier, I mean, anybody, obviously, we encourage to participate in this, but especially if you're a skier, a lover of nature, somebody who's been with Rabbi Sheinfeld on these trips, somebody who understands the value of these teens leaving Israel for a few weeks and getting away from all the trauma, etc., then we encourage you to give and give generously. The link, which is a pretty long one, is available if you email me, Nachum@NachumSiegel.com. Be more than happy to send you the link. You could email Rabbi Sheinfeld, Camp Kanfei, K-A-N-F-E-I, at gmail.com. He'll be more than happy. Again, as I said earlier, if you go later today to NachumSiegel.com/chesed, the link will be there. And if you go later today to this archive of the news story about this conversation, in fact, if you're listening right now in the archive, then Avrami will make sure to include the link in the news story that accompanies this interview. So there'll be ways today for everybody to participate and to be part of this effort, and we certainly encourage everybody to support it and to help Israeli teens who've been in very difficult situations over the last few months to go and enjoy an incredible experience with Camp Kanfei. So there you go. I hope this will be a success, Bezrat Hashem.
Thank you, Nachum.
So people are curious. Months and years ago, Rabbi Sheinfeld was on the air with us and discussed the concept of MS, truth versus sheker, falsehood. And you did indicate that you would that you would one day be putting all this together, hopefully in a book that would analyze the truths of life and at the same time speak about the falsehoods of life. Where do we stand with this whole pursuit?
Okay, so I do have to clarify a little bit about what we mean by MS and sheker. But actually, years ago, I was on a ski trip, and on the way up, I was a little tired. I woke up early, so I was drinking soda and potato chips in the car. And then I went skiing for the day, and I came back at the end of the day. And this has nothing to do with health. No one told me anything. But I, at the end of the day, when I came back after my day of skiing, and I was certainly hungry and thirsty, and I could not
bring yourself
to drink the
soda or eat potato chips.
And it was just kind of strange. I just noticed that.
It made no sense based on the day you had.
Right, right. So over time, that was like a slow epiphany that actually grew on me. And it slowly made me realize that the foods that I eat are often based on how connected I feel to the beauty of life.
Right.
And I make different food choices when I'm sort of more engaged.
Right. It's one of the reasons why when people eat certain foods, they say, I feel like garbage.
Right.
Because not like you said, health-wise, they're eating garbage, but just the whole atmosphere is a garbage. It has a garbage feel to it.
Right. And even though I am a very healthy person, you know this, my decisions about food are not necessarily based exactly on health, but they're based on the way I experience the food when I eat it. What could I say? So that grew into a whole food philosophy that affects my life every single day. Like when I go shopping in the supermarket, there are aisles that I'm drawn to, but I say that's all. Oh, right. And the words I use for those foods are, when you say sheker and emes, truth and false, that means so much to different people. There are truths, and you know, there's theological truths. It's more like a personal truth, the way you feel. When you feel real, when you feel authentic, when you feel connected, I use that's the word of emes. When you feel, this is not me, there's something about it that's not authentic, that I use the word sheker.
And water is authenticity and connection. Soda is non-authentic and disconnected.
Again, what I find, this is not theology, my personal experience. I find that foods that are with added sugars and that are processed are often, when I eat them, and I'm, like I said, I love soda. You know, it's not like I'm the kind of guy, but I usually don't drink it because it after I drink it, it just feels like, that's not me, it's not. And yeah,
it's funny because we, like I said, a lot of people have certain things, especially junk food, and say, I feel like garbage. And very often, I wonder if this fits into your whole philosophy. Very often, people who drink soda to quench their thirst will say they still feel thirsty after they've had it. So I wonder if that's like, that fits into the whole rubric.
It could be. But it's really more about just the experience that you feel when you drink the soda. And that expanded to from foods, in my house in my refrigerator, when I go shopping, there's MS foods and maybe a little bit of some sheker foods because whatever, no one lives exactly the vision. So, and then it became movies. Oh, you know what? There are movies when you watch them, when you finish watching them, you feel deeper about life. You feel like, Wow.
It was that, meaningful yeah, experience.
Right. And the word I use for such a movie is that's an emistic movie, right. an MS movie. And then there are movies that there's a shekher that you finish watching them and that didn't add much and it was like a waste of time. In fact, television, the way many years ago I stopped watching television. Right.
The way it's presented today is complete ridiculousness.
Right. But it's also the way it affects a family's home. Right. Like, you know, if someone takes television out once in a while to watch a movie or to watch some, but the way it becomes the default so that people aren't in touch with their emotions. That so the television.
So imagine what you say about iPhones.
Oh, right. Exactly. In fact, if we go.
What do you say about
iPhones? About Kankanfe, we you know, we try to limit the use of iPhones.
The kids part. The kids cooperate or not?
We'll talk about that another time. But
we do they cooperate to a to a degree?
Yeah, yeah. No, they do. We have rules which you know balance usage and not usage. But on the phone, I tell the kids the reason. One of the reasons I'm against the phone is not even from a particularly Jewish perspective, just from a life perspective, because it takes you away from who you from experiencing yourself. The greatest gift Hashem gave to us is our own neshamas.
Understood. So, do you read Ami magazine ever?
Once in a while.
All right. So last week, an article about Joel Epstein and the Fabuwood company. Shout out to Fabuwood. Fabuwood is a furniture company that's now in Newark, New Jersey. They did a big favor for me when I was saying Kaddish. I used to run over to their facility in Jersey City because they have a 930 minion or a 905 minion, whatever it was. So when I worked in Jersey City, I would run over to Fabuwood. And they have built a company that now has... I mean, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say 12, 13, 1400 people. Like, that's how many people work in Fabuwood. Anyway, Joel Epstein has a rule, and I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that he's Hasidic. I think it has to do with productivity. I don't think it has anything. I mean, if you read the Ami Magazine article from last week, you'll see what I mean. So Joel Epstein has a rule. When you walk into the conference room for a meeting, you must leave your phone outside. The only way people concentrate, the only way they engage with each other, the only way they interact to, you know, come up with creative ideas, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, when he meets with, you know, representatives of billion-dollar companies, they're not always so anxious to follow the rules. And then, as you'll see in the article, they end up thanking him because they didn't realize how addicted they were and how they can't. It, like, if you have to look something up, you know, you're in the middle of a business meeting. Could you look up what you did in the last quarter? Yeah, go out of the room, get your phone from where, you know, the station where all the phones are and look it up and come back in and tell us. Anyway, that again, nothing to do with Hasidism, nothing to do with Judaism. Productivity and being in the moment and connected to what you need to be connected to. So
exactly.
Disconnect to be connected.
Exactly.
You like that, huh?
In fact, the name the name of the book that I'm working on about is actually called Addicted to Distractions.
Wow.
And the fact that, you know, if we're more attuned, we're all looking for simcha, for joy, we're all looking for spirituality. And the only way to get that genuinely is to be in touch with what Hashem gave each one of us.
Right. That's why gratitude to the one above, tefillah to the one above are so vital and important. I mean, Torah study as well, but I always think, and hope no rabbis criticize me, I always think as important as everything that I just mentioned, as important as they are, tefillah to me is always a drop above Torah study because of that connection, because of what it does for one's soul and the gratitude that you're expressing to the one above. So the Talmud Torah, the Torah and Talmud study are vital and important and such a key part of our tradition, part of and certainly part of someone's growth at any age. But I always think that that connection, that prayer connection, is even greater than that. Prayer during the summer with the kids in these environments, with the mountains surrounding them and with the beautiful sunrises and sunsets, it must be a completely different prayer experience from when they're, you know, when they're in their high school, just going through a regular school day.
Right. Yeah. We know it's beautiful. We always, especially on Shabbos, when we say Nishmas, I always point out Ilufinu Malar Shira, you know, and that we're looking at those, the inspiration for those words. I just wanted to, on that Emes and Shekher thing, just, you know, so it becomes like the vision of the world a little bit. Wherever I walk, oh, there are things that are Emes that reinforce authenticity, and there are things that are that pull you away. Like everything at a checkout counter in a supermarket.
It's all Shekher.
It's all Shekher, right? The gum is Shekher, the candy is Shekher, the magazines worrying about who just got divorced. It's all Shekher, right? So, and it's just, it's a good word to like just say, oh, that's not going to get me anywhere. And just the other, I flew to Florida for the weekend, And the funniest places you could sort of see inspiration of Emma. So there was actually an ad for a credit card. Okay. Yeah. And, but the catch line really caught my attention. It said, use this credit card, which is not what I'm really advocating for this moment, right. But it said, because the present only happens once. The present time, you know, only happens once. It was like, wow.
It's like, take advantage.
Yeah. This present moment is only going to happen once. Like,
the power of now.
Yeah. It's just like, wow, we life is not forever. And we always think, oh, this, you could do it there, you could then. But you know what you can't do again later? The present moment you can't do later. It was just like, I guess, an MSA, you know, a real.
So even a credit card company can come up with an MSTIC slogan. Right. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, if I could just say one more thing. I really want to write an article about this. But there is a... I wonder if anybody else in the audience has noticed this, but there are ads on the New Jersey Turnpike for this. So, there was once a Super Bowl ad.
Well, you've mentioned this before.
Yeah. And there is a website, and I guess I'm almost shocked by it because it's not coming from a Jewish source. I guess in thank God, in the Torah world, you know, there are the values. But when you see it out there, there's a website, it's called values.com, and I've showed this to different mechanchem and teachers because they have amazing little video vignettes. But basically, it's you know, in the world of advertising, sometimes you don't even notice when something is real authentic versus what's not. But the vision of this website and this company is to get Americans and just human beings in the world to notice midos tovos.
Right.
Like, so if you drive on the New Jersey Turnpike, you might see one of the billboards. I think it has who is the talk show, the Mr. Rogers, and it might say, friendship, pass it on.
Right.
There was a violinist who was homeless and perseverance, pass it on. So I guess to tie it in with the MS Checker, like wherever we go in the world, there are obviously many special people. And sometimes these special people put out something which you could identify that is MS, that is real. And to see that in our day, it's like a boost of spirituality, wherever it comes from.
Amazing. To help Rabbi Sheinfeld and the folks at Camp Confei give a special summer to those teens in Israel who've been through a very traumatic experience since October 7th. We're talking about literally teens from families that have been affected by the terror of October 7th, because Rabbi Sheinfeld and Confei are working with one family in order to make sure that these scholarships go to the teens where it would be appropriate and who would appreciate it. In order to help out this unique Tzedaka project, you can email me, Nachum@NachumSiegel.com. Be more than happy to send you the link. You can email Rabbi Sheinfeld, Camp Confei, K-A-N-F-E-I, @gmail.com. He'll be more than happy to send the link. And if you're listening to this on archive, the link is in our news story. Avrami will post it. And if you're listening at NachumSiegel.com, just go to our NachumSiegel.com/chesed page, and later today it will be posted as well. We encourage people to support whatever degree you can, and hopefully we'll achieve the goal of sending 6 teens from Israel to the Camp Confei program to really escape the trauma and to deepen their spiritual connection, and frankly to have an amazing effect on kids from our area who are going to be attending Confei as well. And if you want general information about Camp Confei, just email Rabbi Sheinfeld. He'll tell you about the girls program in South America for July, and he'll tell you about the regular high school program that's been in existence for 30 years in New Zealand and Australia and Hawaii. Camp Confei, K-A-N-F-E-I, @gmail.com. Always a delight to share this this forum with an old friend, and especially when it when you have such valuable information and valuable inspiration to share with us. So thank you, Rabbi Sheinfeld.
Nachum, thank you. It's a pleasure, and our friendship is deep and meaningful to me, and we should...
Our friendship is MS.
It's MS.
Our friendship is MS. I know that because Rabbi Sheinfeld would prepare a toasted bagel with some delicious cream cheese lox and onion for me in a moment if I wanted it, right? Am I right about that?
Absolutely.
And hopefully we'll have an opportunity to share one of those very soon. Rabbi Ben-Zion Sheinfeld, everybody. Camp Confei @gmail.com. More coming up. It's Thursday at JM in the AM.